Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording of the reading and sermon from our October 18th service. Reverend Bodie's sermon title is, Does Life Have a Purpose? Thanks for listening.
In preparing for my sermon topic this morning, Does Life Have a Purpose? I paged through some old readings that I had, including one that was composed back in 1978. It was the first year I was beginning my ministry, and this is a reading that was set up as a responsive reading. So I'm going to quote my 31-year-old self. My life has come to this. So this was the way I'd set up this responsive reading. The universe is neither meaningful nor meaningless, neither purposeful nor purposeless, neither significant nor absurd. It simply is. But as self-conscious, somewhat free beings, we need purpose, meaning, and significance. The path we should follow is not given to us in any automatic or instinctive way. Thus, we search the universe, assuming that we can find its purpose, meaning, and significance. Surely, it has a ready-made meaning for us, a secret which can be found if only we have enough persistence and dedication. What is the secret of the universe? What will make us happy, fulfilled, and contented human beings? Many are the answers found, many the secrets discovered, many the gods revealed, many the sacred scriptures, many the prophets and saviors, many the philosophies and religions. Aware of this welter of voices, this confusion of tongues, we do not know where to turn. Is there no final authority, no special secret? And now here's my response. The answer, the universe has no secret to disclose to us. The secret is that there is no secret. The universe simply is, and we simply are. We have brought our question of meaning and purpose to the universe. But the universe is not prepared with an answer, nor can it be. Strangely, it is our nature to question. More strangely still, we must decide the answer. Will we become disgusted, cynical, and angry because the universe is not prepared with an answer to our question? Will we reject life even while clinging to it and say it is meaningless, purposeless, and absurd? Or will we accept the universe as it is given to us? Accept it with its pleasure and pain, excitement and boredom, joy and sorrow. Accept it and try to develop its possibility. Accept it and smile at its infinite mystery. Accept it and create out of it meaning, purpose, and significance. That was my 31-year-old self. You can see if I've improved any after the service. Well, as a minister, I sometimes get asked the question, does life have a purpose? As a matter of fact, I was recently asked this question by a person who doesn't attend here, but perhaps should consider attending here, because in asking this question, this person quipped, "I've come up with my answers to this question, and I don't like them." So I'm thinking that here in this place, there would be an opportunity to explore these displeasing and disturbing answers, to try to see why they are disliked and whether there might be other approaches to the question that might be more psychologically and spiritually uplifting. As a matter of fact, my questioner's quip about not liking the answers that have so far been conceived reveals to me what I regard as the chief flaw in approaching this question of does life have an answer, have a purpose, namely the expectation that the universe should be prepared with a clear and positive answer to this question of ours, and then our irritation and possible distress when an answer is not immediately or always apparent. And I'll come to this presently. As a minister, I'm pleased to be asked this question, does life have a purpose? This says to me that this questioner understands that this is a question that belongs in a religious organization like ours, and that a minister of such an organization should have given at least a little time reflecting upon such a question. Indeed, it's this question, this age-old question, that I think has given rise, at least partially, to religious institutions. And personally, it's one of the questions that drew me into the ministry. The opportunity to be part of an organization, an institution, in which one of its core purposes is to reflect on the purpose of life. Paradoxically, the opportunity to reflect on that is one of the things that does give purpose to my life. This expectation, this opportunity that one is called to devote a significant amount of time and effort to reflecting on and trying to answer this ongoing perennial human question. Does life have a purpose? So, I've been in this profession now, it'll be 40 years in the short time. What's my answer now? I want to share that with you this morning. I'm taking this opportunity to try to answer the question that this questioner put to me. And I begin with what I referred to earlier as the chief flaw in approaching this question, namely the expectation that because we have this question, reality should be prepared with an answer for us. Now, that was certainly an expectation that I was raised with, and perhaps it's the natural expectation of nearly every human being that finds himself on this planet, the expectation that this question, does life have a purpose, has an answer that is discoverable, positive, and can be provided to you. Thus, the existential shock of my early adulthood was the gradual awakening to the disturbing understanding that the answer that was provided for me in my tradition seemed shakier than I had first assumed when I was younger. What to do now? The particular answer from my tradition was found wanting, as I perceived it. But might there be another answer from another tradition that was more solid? I became a student of world religions. But you know, once you've become skeptical in one tradition, the tendency is to be a bit more wary when approaching other traditions and their answers. And thus, the conclusion that no one really has a final answer that is unshakable. No one really has been able to read reality in such a way as to say, here it is now, the answer, the final, unshakable, unassailable truth. So, I come to reality with my question, does life have a purpose? I come in expectation. I come in hope. I come in trust. But the expectation, the hope, the trust is not met. Now what? Anger? Sorrow? Bitterness? Cynicism? Depression? Despair? Hopelessness? As Walt Whitman puts it, bewildered, sullen, I know the sea of torment, doubt, unbelief. Before final despair, however, let's try one more thing. Instead of looking to reality outside of ourselves for an answer, let's take a look at reality inside. Let's take a look at the reality of the questioner. The questioner also is part of reality. And this, to me, is the direction to take in addressing this question, does life have a purpose? It's to look at the nature of the one who is doing the questioning. And here, what I think is the key, here we find freedom, some freedom. In us, nature, reality, has achieved a degree of freedom. Now, it's a finite freedom, it's a limited freedom, but it is still freedom. I have a list here from theologian Paul Tillich of seven different ways in which we humans are free. I'm not going to give all of them to you. You may find them on the website in print form later, if I ever get to it. But I'll give you just three of the ways that we are somewhat free. He says, humans are free insofar as they are able to ask questions about the universe they encounter and about themselves. They are able to penetrate into deeper and deeper levels of reality. Humans are free insofar as they have the power of deliberating and deciding, thus cutting through the mechanisms of stimulus and response. And finally, this third one I'll give you, humans are free insofar as they have the power of contradicting themselves and their freedom. They are free even from freedom and can surrender their humanity. So, does life have a purpose? Oh yes, you bet it does. But this purpose is not something that can be read off the heavens or determined apart from the one who is asking the question. What I'm saying is that the purpose of things is found from the inside. It's found in the way that reality manifests itself in us in this freedom to question. In us, reality is asking about purpose. In us, reality is in quest of purpose. In us, reality has evolved a creature that asks about purpose and that seeks purposes. And part of our purpose can be to embrace this situation and to work with it. So as I look at it, reality didn't evolve the capacity to question so that it could give answers that were already known. Rather, reality evolved the capacity to question so that what was unknown could be explored. Or I'll phrase it just a little bit differently. Reality didn't induce us to ask questions of purpose so that it could reveal purposes already known. No, reality induced us to ask questions so that new purposes could be discovered. So what this means to me is that the purposes of life are not given. They are worked on. The purposes of life are not the purposes of life are achieved. They're not just handed to us. The purposes of our life are purposes that have to do with our creative work. What are some of the implications and the possibilities of this inside approach to the question of, does life have a purpose? I'm going to tick off 6 implications and possibilities of this internal approach. And the first thing to say about the question, does life have a purpose, is to say, as I have been saying, that this is a question that you can do something about. It will not do to say that because the first answers you have come up with are answers that displease you, that you can now bag it. It will not do to say that because there are parts of reality that you don't like, such as death, disease, and taxes. That's not to say that you should now quit on this project of purpose. There are some words of Walt Whitman that come to me. He says, "The earth is rude, silent, incomprehensible at first. Nature is rude and incomprehensible at first. But be not discouraged. Keep on. There are divine things well enveloped. I swear to you, there are divine things more beautiful than words can tell." So, you have something to say about how you will approach reality. Reality itself is giving you a chance. So take advantage of it. Figure out how to love your fate. Part of your fate, as I'm saying, is to have some freedom, this finite freedom, this limited freedom, as I said earlier, but still freedom. So make use of that freedom. Don't surrender it. And don't quit when your first inquiries and answers are not what you wanted or were expecting. The philosopher Epictetus, in our responsive reading, says, "You are not some disinterested bystander. Exert yourself." Second, become aware that the question of does life have a purpose always remains a question. I was giving my response back when I was 31. I keep circling back. Never quits. So, this question is, and I think ought to be, never finally answered. It is an ongoing question relating to ongoing life. And any current answer to the question of purpose begins to fossilize the moment it is generated. This reality of continual process can be embraced, not rejected. So we have the immense privilege of being able to ask this question of purpose, to consider answers, to act for given purposes, to work for given ends, to get feedback from life, to circle back, to reconsider. Over and over and over again, we return to this perennial human question, which I'm saying ought always to remain a perennial human question. Thirdly, now I've said a couple of times that we have a finite freedom, a limited freedom. That is to say, reality is not infinitely malleable by us, nor are we, contrary to a certain popular poem, the masters of our fate. There are natural laws. There are powers and principalities beyond us and our personal wishes. We are that really, really interesting part of the power of being that, as it were, is able to stand back from itself. But the part that stands back from itself is not the source of power. It's not the engine. Instead, we work with the engine of life. We test what it can do. We may even point it in certain directions. But the ego, this part of us that stands back, stands apart, is not the power source itself. It's the observer of the power source, and it can work cooperatively with the power source. And so the aim of us finite creatures should be to work cooperatively with the infinite creative power of all being. The process theologians speak of this as co-creators with God. The poet Robinson Jeffers speaks of this as our honor and our hardship, this working cooperatively with the power source of life. We are that part of the creativity that works on purpose. Again, Epictetus puts it, respect your partnership with providence. You could read fate, nature, reality, God, use the term that works. But ask yourself often, how may I perform this particular deed such that it will be consistent with and acceptable to the divine will, to nature, to reality, to God? Heed the answer and get to work. And fourthly, in terms of finding what particular purposes to follow for ourselves, that is to say, how to concretely live our lives, I suggest paying attention to the energies that are within you, to follow the energy, first of all, not the money. Pay some attention to the money, but that's not the first thing. But in terms of life purpose, in terms of fulfillment of purpose, attempt to discern where the energy is within you. A wise counselor once said to me, God is where the energy is. God is where the energy is. Here are a couple of quotes from theologian Howard Thurman on this. He says, there is something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. It is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that someone else pulls. And this from Howard Thurman. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And fifthly, sometimes a given purpose unravels. Sometimes something you have worked for collapses. A relationship at the center of your life comes to an end. An anchor of purpose to which you were attached becomes severed, and now you are set adrift, lost at sea, your life drained of purpose. But because a particular purpose gives way, this doesn't mean the end of the possibility of purpose. The creative power is still there. And we are connected to, still part of that creative power. We may have to, we should, mourn those severed connections. We may have to let things go fallow for a time. We let the ego have its rights, but life is larger than our ego, and new possibilities will emerge. New purposes will appear to which we once again can attach ourselves. And then sixthly and finally, this internal rather than this external approach to the question of the purpose of life calls us to awaken to the unoriginated, infinitely creative power of all being, and that power surges both within and without us. We are, as has been said, eyes and ears of the universe. We are the universe. The universe has come to self-consciousness in us. Is there within reality the urge, the drive to know itself? Well, whether or not that urge is there, whether by impulse or accident, the result has been that reality has evolved creatures like us in which being can behold itself, can know itself, can appreciate itself, can be startled by its own beauty and splendor, can be in sympathy for the immense struggle and pain that we see in existence all around. Whether by design or chance, or by both design and chance, the result has been that reality has evolved the capacity in creatures like us to be in wonder at the miracle of its own being. How incredible that anything is. How incredible that what is can come to know itself. And how humbling and exhilarating for us to be able to play that role, to play a part in that. If ever one was in search of a purpose for life, then surely this is a purpose: to awaken to what the Buddhists call the suchness of things, and to offer it our reverence, our praise, our sympathy, our care, our creativity. I close with these words of the poet Gregory Orr. Let's remake the world with words, not frivolously, nor to hide from what we fear, but with a purpose. Let's, as Wordsworth said, remove the dust of custom so things shine again, each object arrayed in its robe of original light. And then we'll see the world as if for the first time, as once we gazed at the beloved who was gazing at us. So may it be.